a warning to Christians that our Heavenly Father loves us enough to chastise us when we need it sometimes. And, you know, as we've been talking about Jesus as our high priest here in this book, which is the main theme of Hebrews, tonight we're reminded that once we have come to God through our priest, Jesus Christ, through His blood, that God expects us to be an obedient child. And when we aren't, God promises that He will do what a loving father should do. So we'll start there in verse 26 of chapter 10 in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 26, the Bible says, "For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and accounted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace? For we know him that hath said, Vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." So a fearful thing. Let's pray. Lord, please give your wisdom tonight and your presence as we look into your precious and powerful word. Use it to teach and grow us. Just work miracles in our hearts through it. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So notice the Bible is clearly talking to Christians. And we see that when he mentions things like, as he says on down in the passage, after we've received the knowledge of the truth there in verse 26, the Bible talks about in verse 29, those who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified. So there's no question that this was written to Christians. We can't say, oh, this is talking about the lost. It's not. And then it says in verse 26, if we sin willfully, God gave us a free will. And we always have a choice whether to obey or disobey God's word. Whenever we sin, we're doing it willfully. We can't blame the devil. We can't blame our flesh. We can only blame ourselves. We are accountable for our behavior. And so when we sin willfully. And if you go to Galatians 5, verse 17, the Bible explains that this battle that goes on between the flesh and the spirit never ends. Galatians 5, verse 17. The Bible says, "For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." Notice it says they're contrary one to the other. So we've been given a free will, but we're going to be fighting a battle until the day Jesus comes. And it's always a decision. Do I obey or do I disobey? Because the Bible says in verse 26, after we've received the knowledge of the truth, again, we know that's Christians. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 1, after that we've heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, and whom almost a believer sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. He's talking about saved people. And so what does he say? Verse 26, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. This ties in with that passage, remember, in Hebrews 6. That talks about how Jesus can't die again for our sins. Let's look at it back in Hebrews 6, one of those passages that people like to abuse who believe you can lose your salvation, when it actually teaches just the opposite, that you can't lose your salvation. But notice Hebrews 6 and verse 4, the Bible says, "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame." It is impossible to renew them again to repentance. Why? Because you can't get saved again. It's impossible. But what it's saying, what it's teaching us is that when Jesus died on the cross, he died once for all sin. This is so important for us as Christians. That's why there remaineth no more sacrifice. It's done. Amen? When Jesus said, it is finished, it was finished. He doesn't have to be sacrificed again. It took once for the sins of the whole world. The Bible says we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all in Hebrews 10:10. Once for all. So there remaineth no more sacrifice, but back to our passage, Hebrews 10, verse 27, but a fearful looking for of judgment. So what God is saying is if we choose to willfully sin, if we choose to willfully disobey and not deal with it, that now the other aspect of the fear of the Lord becomes a reality in our lives. Often when we talk about the fear of the Lord, we focus on the fact that it's revering God or showing a reverence to the Lord, showing respect of the Lord and honor, and that is all true. But there's another aspect of the fear of the Lord, and that is fearing the Lord. Literally fearing the punishment or the chastisement. And if you've been saved a while, you've probably experienced this firsthand. To where when you're tempted with sin, often the one thing that helps stop you or hold you back is a literal fear of what God might do if you do go off into sin and disobey God and head down that path. A literal, just like with our kids when we were raising our children. They had a literal reverence for us as their parents, but they also had a literal fear of the consequences of disobedience. Well, if we were raising them biblically, they did. They had a fear. They knew what pain was involved when they did disobey, and they were afraid of that. That's what God's talking about here. Just He's equating it to parents and children all through the passage and through the book. So He says, verse 29, how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trod underfoot the Son of God? Because whenever we go off in sin, that's exactly what we're doing. God says it's the equivalent of walking on top of Jesus while He's laying on the ground. Which we would look at that and say, that's almost blasphemous. Yeah, it is. Then He goes on to say, hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith He was sanctified an unholy thing. So He's saying that through our behavior, we're not saying this with our mouths, but we're saying with our behavior when we go off and act like the devil, when we're one of God's children, it's through our behavior we are saying that the blood of Jesus Christ isn't important. The very blood that sanctified and redeemed us and paid for our sins, we're saying it's really no big deal because I'm just going to sin anyway. Think about that. This is God speaking. He says it means we've counted in an unholy thing. And we've done despite unto the Spirit of grace. We also, of course, quench the Spirit, grieve the Spirit of God when we sin. And so what God is telling us is He will chastise us. In verse 30, we know Him that hath said, vengeance belongeth to me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge who? His people. This isn't talking about the lost. This is talking about His people. And if you're born again, you're one of His people. You're one of His children. So let's look at some scriptures on this. Let's go to Hebrews 12. And just be reminded tonight that the Lord loves us enough to chasten us when we deserve it. Because we are saying through our behavior that our salvation isn't as precious as it should be to us. And God has to deal with us if that is our attitude. Hebrews 12:6, for whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. So notice how God equates love with chastisement. Just like Solomon does in the book of Proverbs with parents and children. He equates love with chastisement. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Proverbs 13:24. Jesus said in Revelation 3:19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. So again, God often equates love with chastisement. And then if you will go to 1 Corinthians 11, we'll be reminded that God wants us to be constantly checking ourselves and judging ourselves so that he doesn't have to judge us through chastisement. Look at 1 Corinthians 11. Now this passage, of course, is talking about when we take the Lord's Supper together and how there were some people there in the Corinthian church who turned the Lord's Supper into a drunken time and a time to show off people that were rich. And God said for that reason, God actually killed some of them. That's some pretty intense chastisement. But he goes on to say, verse 31 of 1 Corinthians 11, "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." So there God is equating chastisement with judged. He's writing to Christians and he's saying that if we won't judge ourselves, if we won't look at our own behavior in light of God's word and correct our behavior, God will take care of it through chastisement. And that's exactly what he's telling us here in Hebrews chapter 10, that the Lord will judge his people. And this is the fear aspect that we're talking about tonight. The reverence, yes, but now we're literally just talking about there's an aspect of just being afraid. What would God do if I just chose to live like the devil? Would there be any consequences? Can I just go off and just do whatever I want? And just live like the devil and wonder what will happen? Well, if we truly believe the Bible's true and we truly are children of God, then something's going to happen. And God says, you should be afraid of it. Go back to Psalm 76. David understood this. Psalm 76. In Psalm 2, verse 11, the Bible says, "Serve the Lord with fear." Again, that's reverence, but it's also a literal fear. Notice Psalm 76, 7. It says, "Thou, even thou, art to be feared, and who may stand in thy sight when once thou art angry?" What's God saying here? Don't make God angry. Be afraid. And that's exactly what he's telling us here in Hebrews 10. Go back to our passage, verse 31, the key verse of our passage. "It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." It's a fearful thing. One aspect of fearing the Lord is literally being afraid of chastisement. And if there is none of that when we choose to run off and just do whatever we want, if there is no fear of chastisement, we might not even be saved. That's what the Bible says. And if no chastisement ever comes, we aren't saved. That's what the Bible says. Because it says all are partakers of God's chastisement at some point in their Christian lives in Hebrews 12. So if we've never experienced the chastisement of the Lord and we've been saved for 10, 15 years, we're probably not saved. Which is very interesting. Anyway, go back to Hebrews 12 again. Let's look at it one more time. Notice verse 9. "Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live?" What God is saying here is part of the reverence that children give to their parents is wrapped up in a fear of the consequences of doing wrong. And it should be the same for Christians. Part of our reverence for our Heavenly Father should be a literal fear of the consequences of disobedience. Because God's promised us over and over again, He will deal with sin. And He's telling us here in verse 31, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. He's not talking to the lost. We know what's going to happen to the lost. They're going to go to hell. He's not talking about the lost. It's not about Christians who choose to go off and, as we read in verse 26, willfully disobey. And the thing is, when it comes to God's will for our lives, it's not really that complicated, is it? I mean, we read the Word, we know God's basic commands to us. So the difficulty isn't knowing God's will, is it? It's obeying God's will. Because we're stubborn, selfish, and self-centered, and all those other things. So, you know, maybe we need to look at it from a different perspective and say, well, if God continues to bring these certain things into my life, is He trying to tell me something? Are there areas where I am in disobedience and the Holy Spirit keeps trying to talk to me about it and I'm not listening? Maybe I better listen. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 89, God is greatly to be feared. So God wants His children to fear Him. Not only with reverence, but also with awe and respect, but also with a literal, if you will, trying to avoid the consequences of sin. And I don't mean, you know, the consequences of sin are going to hell for a lost person. The consequences of sin for a Christian are we lose the close fellowship with the Lord, the Holy Spirit is grieved, so the communication isn't what it should be with the Holy Spirit, and ultimately, chastisement if we don't repent and get it right. So the consequences are different. Not to go to hell. That was taken care of at Calvary. But there's still always consequences for sin. You reap what you sow. That's always been a scriptural principle, right? Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. We do reap what we sow. So serve the Lord with fear. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:6. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Proverbs 8:13. So think about what this is telling us, and let's finish in Romans chapter 3. And then we'll have a better understanding of what God is telling us about this fearful thing. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. You know, you can apply that to the saved, but you honestly can apply it to the unsaved too. Because one day, they're going to fall into the hands of the living God, are they not? And be cast into hell. I'd say that's pretty fearful. Romans chapter 3, talking about the lost. Verse 15, their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. Verse 18, there is no fear of God before their eyes. Now here he is talking about the lost. The lost don't have a fear of God. Because if they did, they'd get saved. Think about it. You know, you people, I hear people say, oh, the only reason Christians come to Jesus and get saved is so they won't go to hell. I say, amen. Isn't that why we got saved? Isn't that why it's called the Savior? Because He saves us from the consequences of sin, which is to go to hell? You know, you can get all high and lofty. No, I trusted Jesus Christ because I wanted to be a Christian. No, you trusted Jesus Christ because the consequences of your sin were to go to hell, and Jesus died for your sins and rose again and offered you salvation. To be saved from something. Can't be saved from something if you don't need rescued, right? We needed rescued from the consequences of our sin. So that's what it means. It says they have no fear of God before their eyes. They're not afraid of the consequences of their sin. But what's sad is when Christians behave that way. And that's what this passage is talking about. We should be afraid of the consequences of our sin, which is, as we've read, God chastising us. So what's the answer? To be walking in the fear of the Lord. When the Holy Spirit deals with us about something, whatever it might be, however small it might be, then listen and deal with it. If He keeps telling us the same thing over and over again, maybe we should listen. Otherwise, we might have to fall into the hands of the living God. And that's a fearful thing. Let's pray.